response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Welcome back to the show, and today we're talking about sports, we're talking about families. It's a great time for those kiddos to get outside and play right now, and Rising Families is an organization that wants to ensure the opportunity exists for every child, and that every child is committed to lifting one another up. So Rachel Cisneros is joining me today. Tell me more. Good morning.
Good morning, Jordan. Thank you for having me. So again, my name is Rachel Cisneros. I'm going to tell you a little about my background. I have 8 children, 4 of which are adopted.
I have an adopted child.
Yes, I have 4.
Jeez.
So I have 4, which I started, I adopted them when they were 4, 6, and I just recently got the older sister at the age of 16, now 18.
Okay.
So I have my 4th one, Melissa, is 24 now. So I have grandchildren from her. So I have 6 grandchildren. My husband, Fernando Cisneros, very supportive of what I do. Sometimes, you know, we drag our husbands into like, hey, this is a vision. And so they follow. And I'm just thankful for him for that. I also worked with the Boy Scouts in 2008. I was a district executive for outreach programs. I worked there for 10 and a half years, resigned in 2019. Because I wanted to be a stay-home mom and a grandma.
Eight kids.
I was like, you know, I want to take some time. I had the new grandkids, you know, just born. And so I wanted to spend some time with them. That was very short because living and born and raised in South Phoenix, me and myself were in the area of South Phoenix, born and raised. I was in, you know, in trouble during my younger ages. And in 2008, my whole life just, it was a big turnaround. And so when I saw there was need in South Phoenix, there was a lot of drug addiction, homelessness, and now I see it in younger youth. Mm-hmm. And into my heart is really big on faith. I look to the Lord for prayer, for, you know, vision, my pastor at Phoenix First Apostolic, Anthony Romo, for guidance. And I said, this is what I want to do. South Phoenix really needs a program. And so together we prayed and he confirmed and I continued with the program, starting with Premier Rising Sports. It was an LLC program started in the South Phoenix Roosevelt School District. And, you know, yes, there was struggles, but to see the little impact, you know, we started with 10 kids, 20 kids, and that started in 2019. We started the program again with a handful of kids, and it was just, okay, there's more to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, prayer. We started getting involved in prayer. The pandemic hit in 2019, so we had to stop for that 2-year period time.
Okay.
So then going forward in 2022, we started it again. And we ended up with 40 kids. So I'm like, okay, 40 kids, great, right? From 10 to 40, it's progressing. And so then we also started to recruit more. This year has been the best year ever, where we were able to have partnerships with an Aeroterra Apartments. It's underserved communities, and that's what we're here for, is to serve these sports programs, to engage our community into now serving their community. So the sports is the umbrella of my nonprofit. So I wanted to do more, and I said, okay, let me start a nonprofit organization, because now I can able to expand. And then just talk about what I'm doing and the passion I'm doing in my community, not only in the South Phoenix, because we have other areas that are underserved. There's sports programs, and ours is very unique. Because again, we teach leadership in our program. We teach faith and we teach prayer. So we give them hope. We have broken families. We have families that have never been engaged in sport because it's too expensive. And so we give a very low and minimum, at even a free cost to our parents, a program that we share to engage everybody from their communities to get involved. Let's do gardening. Let's plant, homelessness. Let's feed them. And so that sport program is the umbrella of the Rising Families to engage our communities.
And so is this something that is for children, for adults, for both? Do you encourage the whole family to kind of work together while they're at these programs?
We do. So the sport is from ages 4 to 16, and we utilize our leaders. So as they go through our program, they age at 16. My boy that's adopted, Oscar, is 13. He decided to step up this year. He says, Mom, I don't want to coach. I don't want to practice. I don't want to play, but I want to coach. I want to be a leader. And so that's what we look to, is to instill leadership. And so he has his team. He leads his team. He leads them in prayer and activities. And we also utilize the parents as well. They get involved. They get engaged. It's all volunteer ran. All of us are volunteers. And so they step up and says, how can I help you in this program? And so we had some fathers that stepped up to help coach. We had the mothers to help, and they brought snacks for the kids. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to engage community. And at the end of our program this year, we served 1,400 snacks.
Nice.
In 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was just very excited that the parents were able to be involved and connecting. After our 8-week program, we then go into community service. So we have Creighton Community Foundation, nonprofit. We go and help them do food distributions on Saturdays. They learn how to make the boxes, put the produce in the boxes, and then we pack them into the vehicles that come by. We have an interact club in partnership with ASU. John Winnestein and Marina, they oversee the international clubs for our kids. And now they're able to meet with Uganda, Nigeria, Colima, Mexico, and they start to talk about culture, leadership, and what does that mean to them? And so this is what the program is about. It's not about sports, but it's to engage, to teach leadership skills so that these young ones can take on in their community that leader part, that sustainability and leadership in their communities.
Do you have any stories of either families or children? I'm sure there's countless that their lives were just changed and you could see it happen right before your eyes. You know, what was life like before they began working with you? And then how did you see them evolve and really grow into those leadership positions?
Yeah. So, there's just so many, but one in particular that really hit was Alexis. Alexis have never played any sports, any extracurricular activities before. mainly because mom tells me because they didn't have the funds, the resources to enroll her in anything, the activities being offered. There was none in her community. So getting to and from the locations was very, very difficult for them. Alexis is always, she's very shy. She's very shy. She battled depression at her young age. She was 12 when she started our program. And she started getting involved. She started getting involved and interacting with other youth. It was a little difficult for her, but that opened her up. Prayer also was a big factor in her life. Mom says, you know, we really haven't prayed, and we do occasionally, but when you guys start teaching this, that inspired because it brings it home. Mm-hmm. And just the outlook and the whole different outcome of her, of Alexis, is now mom sees it at home. They see it at school. The shyness doesn't discomfort her anymore from participating and enjoying herself. Mm-hmm. She takes on leadership roles at school and now being student council president, running their meetings.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
That is a big difference from her being shy, not wanting to speak to anybody. It was really difficult for her when she started. Mm-hmm. And after the 8 weeks, the season, it's just a really great outcome that we see in our youth.
And really a short amount of time. 8 weeks is, you know, you're not with them the 24 hours every day through those 8 weeks. So it's just short spurts, but something that's a big turnaround in 2 months.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And not only in Alexis, but we see this in other children. We've had parents come to us and say, you know, this is an opportunity. The love that you guys show on this field is just awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they feel it out there. And that's what we want, is we want to love our community and let them know that we are here to help through our programs, through resources, you know, that we have visions for.
Mm-hmm. And do you find sometimes just allowing the space and holding space for someone who would typically be a wallflower, who would typically not stand up or speak up or, you know, be the first to engage in something, holding space for them really makes all the difference and just opening the door for opportunity?
Yes, most definitely. You know, like the programs that we have, we'd like to engage our youth. And the interactive clubs that we have, that motivates our youth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's challenging. But they get it. They get that. They get what we're trying to do in the community. And so for them to come back and say, hey, coach, hey, Miss Rachel, Mr. Fernando, what can we do to help? We want to help in leadership. We want to do this. And they come up with their ideas. And that's what we want. The Interact Rotary Clubs. And that's what we engage our youth, is you build what you guys want in your community and go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, take up that vision. And so they do. They have been doing that. And so that's exciting to see that.
So is this a family-run organization? You mentioned your husband. Does he kind of help out with the day-to-day operations? Or
he does. He does. So, yes, it started as a family. I had my daughters. Everybody was involved. Of course, my daughters are now older. And they said, Mom, man, we've done this for many years. You know, we're done. We're doing our own thing. But my husband has been very faithful. So it is a family program, a nonprofit, and he helps with setting up the fields. He's out there ministering to the kids. He's coaching the kids. So he's all over the place.
Yeah, it's always a family affair.
It's always
a small nonprofit.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
I had Wade Crum of Pass It on the show just recently, and both he and his mom, Sarah, spoke so highly of you. How did you guys first get connected?
Yes, so Wade, I met Wade back a couple of years ago. I think this is when I actually started my program. And the introduction was through Heber Valenzuela. And Heber was working with Phoenix Rising. And so we did a lot of outreach together. And he says, you know, contact Wade. He can help you in your, you know, because he knew I was serving underserved. And it's like, how am I going to get the uniforms, the equipment to start all this? You know, because it was coming out of our pocket. And so it was just a big blessing to meet Sarah and Wade from Pass It On. I connected with Wade and he says, you know, I have some uniforms. I have some cliques for the kids, you know, come pick some up. So I did. And that has been our connection to keeping our program surviving and able to expand to these areas. Because recently they just donated some uniforms. You know, we had a cost. And because of the areas we serve, it's difficult when a family has 5 to 8 kids in one family. Yes. And so these uniforms come in handy because like, all right, we can sponsor these kids now. Mm-hmm. We don't leave any child behind. We will find a way to sponsor, to give a uniform, whatever it may be. We are never going to leave a child behind. So with Sarah coming in, she was able to open more opportunities. You know, they donated the uniforms. They donated our equipment to practice with, balls that we recently got. And so next year, we have expanded to a third location. And this is with the Somali Council. Okay. I'm just very excited for their donations. Sarah, they're awesome. Pass It On.
They were very nice. And Wade's so impressive. At 18 years old, he's like, oh yeah, I started a nonprofit at 13. No big deal. Yes. No big deal.
Yes, yes. And I said, when I met Wade, I was like, how did you do this? You know, 13, just motivated on and going. I asked him for pointers. Yeah. When I started my nonprofit. Like, wow, you did this at a young age. You know, how did you do it? What did you do? Mm-hmm. And so just the inspiration of a young youth to do something like that. Yeah. I talk about Wade all the time in our program to my boys. Look at this young man. At a young age, he had a vision and a heart, and look who he's serving. Mm-hmm. And so that is a great inspiration.
Yeah. What are you most proud of looking back at? It's been a bumpy road for you, trying to start a nonprofit, 2019, having to kind of shut down, open back up. What are you most proud of as you look back at the past few years?
The growth of the program. I want to say the growth, the hard work shows, the prayer shows. Mm-hmm. The most challenging would be the funding in the program. It has everything to do. It goes hand in hand with, you know, the equipment, the coaches, access to uniform, healthy snacks, transportation for a lot of the youth that can't get there. Mm-hmm. So we want to provide that transportation. Again, we thank Pass It On for allowing and having those uniforms and equipment. And, you know, they age out. And so funding to get more equipment, stipends for the kids is what, you know, I think we're looking and the vision is for. But the outcome, the growth, I think it's just been great, tremendously. We have the Aeroterra apartments. We started with 10 kids, then it progressed to 40. At our end of our season in 2023, we ended up with 92 kids.
It's awesome.
Yeah, 92 kids this year, and already have kids online for next year looking to target 160 kids.
Okay.
By next year.
What are some of those 2024 goals? The 160 kids, what else? Any new programs? Yes. Or?
Well, we recently, as of last night, we put in a grant for City of Phoenix. I didn't see it, but I have word that Rising Families was honored one of those grants. Mm-hmm. So that just put in a vision for more leadership, for more participation. My vision also for our youth is college education. We want to make sure that the kids know how to get a grant, where to find a grant. Coming from high school into college, I've seen that a lot of our youth that passes through our program are confused. I don't know. I'm not computer savvy. I don't know where to go to look for these grants. So I'm just not going to go to school.
And it's a challenging world to navigate regardless.
It is. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that, you know? And so that is our next vision, is to train somebody. Let's bring in someone to train these kids, to show them how to get a scholarship, where to find them. If you don't, or you're not, you know, great with computers, let's teach you. Let's help you get there. Let's help you get an education, get to college. So that's our next vision. Food sustainability, having food pantries as well, having our own facility is something that I know it's long-term and it's a great vision, but having our own facility is something that we're looking for, mm-hmm. to be able to have more resources out there.
These are big goals.
These are really big goals. Yes. And I know with our faith and prayer, it all happened. It will all happen. It will come together. Don't know when, how, but it will come together.
Yes, you're going to be very busy. That's all I know.
It is. It is.
Sweating just thinking about it.
Yes. It's a lot of work, but it's my passion. It's my passion to serve. I've always served my community in South Phoenix. Like I said, I was, you know, been there, done that. And I don't want to see the rest of our youth go through that. And I know we can't save them all, but planting the seed in our communities, it's inspiring because you see the outcome. You see your prayers being answered through the youth that come through our program. And so that makes me happy, and that makes me feel like I'm being successful and I'm doing what I need to be doing in my community.
100%. How can community members and listeners get involved? Do you have volunteerism opportunities, or how could we be most helpful?
We do. You can reach Rachel Cisneros at rachel@risingfamilies.org. We are in the process of fixing our webpage. So it's in the process right now. It's Rising Families. We'll have a donation spot there so you guys can donate, get involved. You can always call us 602-413-5622, Rachel Cisneros, and we can involve you. We have plenty of volunteer spaces. We have plenty of opportunities for you. So please, again, Rising Families, and you can contact Rachel Cisneros, rachel@risingfamilies.org.
Perfect. And what do those volunteer opportunities look like? What are some of the ways that, you know, I know that especially this time of year, I wish it was something that was more year round, you know, in Arizona, because the need is certainly there year round. Yes. But around the holidays and around kind of, you know, when we all come out of our hiding places from the summer heat, what ways are there for people to kind of get their hands dirty?
So again, we have gardening projects that we go out and do. We partner with Aeroterra Community. They have a huge apartment complex there that is being transitioned. It was the old apartment complex, got rebuilt. So we are planting gardens in those locations. So
fun.
Number one, we are
literally getting your hands dirty.
Right. And then also we are, we clean up around our schools, Roosevelt School Districts. There's a lot of drug activity in the alleys that are just vigilant to the schools. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our kids are not being accessible. You know, all around the schools, there's fences. Some may not have fences. So we like to clean around the schools and make sure those areas are clean. So, you know, food distributions, we have coaching, leadership, program aides that we're looking for. To help out expanding those areas as well. Mm-hmm. We've also, yes, in the years past, we've done backpacks, so back to school events that we've had donors that donated backpacks that we were able to supply 300 students. Mm-hmm. We've also are doing a Christmas event this season, or this year in December, for the community in Aeroterra and the kids in the program, expecting 200 participants. So we are giving a dinner to these participants, which was also a blessing because the food and everything was donated.
Nice.
And so these are the things that we're looking for, is to just love our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you guys are busy. You've got a lot coming up, and you know, I certainly appreciate your time. But lastly, I like to chat with community leaders and folks that have a vision and follow through with that vision, that they say, I don't care what anybody else is going to tell me. I am going to go through with this. I have faith. I have faith in myself. What advice would you give to someone who's interested in starting a nonprofit or sees an issue in the community and wants to take action like you did?
Go for it. What I've done, when I realized that I really wanted to serve, you have to have a passion for your community. Mm-hmm. And once you have that passion, you're going to go for it. And that's what I did, is like, I had that passion and it's, I put it in prayer. God gave me the vision. And for me, I had to learn. I went to seminars. I went to, you know, to find out what a nonprofit was. What is the background to a nonprofit? And as I learned, a lot of times when I met people, it's like, oh, I just went in and I started my nonprofit and I filled it out and that was it. To me, I like to educate. To see what you're getting into, the backgrounds, you know, what is it entail? So if you are interested in a nonprofit, go for it. It's in your passion. Serve your community. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's not, because the resources will come. It takes time. It took us a couple of years. It comes out of your pocket when you first start. But once you start connecting to people, organizations, other nonprofits, and let them know what you're doing, the passion, they see it, they're there, and they'll start following you.
And there is such a supportive community between nonprofits.
Yes, most definitely.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and thanks for spreading the good word. You've got work to do. I'm going to let you get back to your work.
I have a lot of work to do, yes. But we love it. We love it, you know. And so again, thank you for having us.
All right, I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio, with audio on demand on radio station websites, and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.